Pastor Ray Bentley explains what happens when the Spirit comes upon us.
Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But now tarry ye in Jerusalem, for the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. You shall be given power, dunamis," which is where we get our English word dynamite from. "There will be power that will come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth."
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. At first glance, it's amazing that a small group of disciples from a relatively small geographic location could spread the gospel in a way that soon reached the whole world, and this without modern communication. But we'll see today the Holy Spirit played a key role in empowering and directing that message.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Interestingly, it begins by saying this: "Now Saul was consenting to his death," talking about Stephen. And we read that Saul was a Pharisee, and he held the coats of those who stoned this young man, Stephen. So now Saul was consenting to his death. "And at that time," listen, "a great persecution arose against the church which is at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except to the apostles." So this is very interesting. So here's the first thing that I want to share with you. We've got just five quick points we're going to go through. Number one, persecution does to the church what wind does to seed. It scatters it and only produces a greater harvest. You hear what I'm saying? Persecution does not put the church's flame out. Persecution takes the embers of the fire of the Holy Spirit and scatters them. Literally, it's like the wind that takes seed and blows the seed beyond even now Jerusalem to Samaria and Judea, and on to the uttermost parts of the earth. So think about this. The Sanhedrin had silenced one voice, this young man, Stephen, that was shaking the city of Jerusalem. They did not realize that by stoning Stephen, they were awakening a much bigger, louder, multiplying voice that would now shake not only Jerusalem, but would begin shaking the whole world. The word scattered that is used here in verse 1, "At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered." It is the word that is used for sowing seed. And so this is beautiful. I love this because now they're rejoicing because God's will is being actually done. Now I want to give you a little sketch of Saul of Tarsus. Saul was born in Tarsus in Cilicia. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was the son of a Pharisee. He studied under a very famous Jewish rabbi named Gamaliel. Saul, from an early age, was devoted to God. He loved God. He had religious zeal, and he became a well-respected Pharisee. And in fact, he displayed his loyalty in his own mind of how much he loved God the most and how much he loved the law of God by persecuting the church. And the reason was he, in his own internal mind, was absolutely convinced that these guys were heretics, that Jesus was not the Messiah, and that they were off. And therefore, in Saul's mind, he felt completely justified in persecuting them and warning people against them and going after them. He persecuted both men and women unto death. But then later, when he gets saved, he says, "What I did ignorantly in unbelief." And yet God showed Saul mercy and he saved him. Now that's verse one. Let's go on. God used Saul's rage to accomplish two things. Number one, he forced the church out of its comfort zone. He forced the church out of Jerusalem. And number two, he forced other members of the church. Now that they were scattered, they had to leave their homes or what was their comfort zone, and now they had to become absolutely dependent in an entirely new way on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit now, they have just been with Jesus and his inner disciples. Well, now we read the apostles stay in Jerusalem, but the church is thrust out into Judea and then into Samaria and then throughout Rome. And all as Paul begins to share the gospel and the church grows and grows and grows, it's going to need not just 12 men. It needs literally hundreds and then thousands of both men and women who are anointed by God, who depend upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit and will help the church continue to spread and the gospel to grow all the way around the world. Amen? So God is working the same in our day. He's using this time. And we need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Okay, verses 4-8. This flows right into the next section. In this hour, God raised up lay preachers to spread the gospel. Verses 4-8, we read, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Let me read that again. Therefore, those who were scattered, read not the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. Everybody else had to flee and had to go and had to leave. And those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Amen. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy to that city. So we were introduced, you remember that there were the apostles, and then there's thousands of people, they're selling their farms and their homes, and they're bringing all their money together, and they're all kind of living together in this beautiful new community called the church. And the apostles were having to spend all their time, you know, handing out food and clothing. And they said, wait a second, this isn't right. We need to be, you know, spending time in the word and in prayer. So they raised up seven men full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit, who had a good reputation. They said, look, you guys start ministering, handing out, taking care of the widows and food and clothing and all of that. One of those was Stephen. He just got martyred. Another of the seven was this young man, and his name is Philip. And God takes another man filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom and of good report, and he uses him. Now listen, later we will find Philip living in Caesarea, a little city on the coast of the Mediterranean in ancient Israel. And there, this is later in the book of Acts, he is called Philip the Evangelist, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and miracles are happening, and he's not one of the 12 apostles. He's one of the flock, and yet God is using him in an extraordinary way. Not only was he known as Philip the Evangelist, but he discipled his family. He had four daughters, and the New Testament tells us all four of Philip's daughters were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they all had the gift of prophecy. Wow. Philip was an amazing guy. And later we will find that the Apostle Paul, after he gets saved, spent time with Philip in Caesarea at his house with his wife and his four daughters that were filled in the Holy Spirit and had the gift of prophecy. And I think, wow. Because now in this story, how amazing would it have been to have Paul, who was at the time Saul, who stoned Stephen, and now you're with Philip, who just stepped out, all the things that they could have talked about. How many of you want to go to that house for that potluck, right? And hear that conversation. I can imagine Paul and Philip as they recounted their experiences, and man, Paul, you were killing us, literally. And then, you know, him saying, yeah, but Stephen, I saw that young man, his face glowing like an angel. It pierced my heart and I couldn't get his face out of my mind. And then walking on the road to Damascus, when I saw the light and I fell to the ground and the voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I said, and I knew it was the Lord. I said, who is it, Lord? And he said, this is Yeshua of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. That burning zeal that he was chasing people literally outside the country of Israel, going up into Damascus, Syria, chasing Jews who believed in Jesus of Nazareth. And now he sees the glory of God. He hears the voice. He knows it's the Lord. And the voice tells him, I am the one you've been persecuting. And now I have called you and I'm going to send you to be an apostle around the world. Wow. What a beautiful thing. So Philip preached the Messiah to them. So in Samaria, the Samaritans were looking for the Messiah. You remember Jesus, when he went to Samaria, there was a woman at the well. And you remember what the woman of Samaria said to Jesus? Well, we know when the Messiah comes, he'll answer all of our questions. Samaritans believed in the Messiah. And Jesus said, he that speaks unto you is he. And then he told her about her life, and she ran and brought the whole village. So Jesus planted the seed in Samaria through the woman at the well. Now Philip comes, and he brings in this glorious harvest. What a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's so encouraging when we hear from listeners and hear how these daily teachings have helped them. Take a listen.
Pastor Ray, my mother and father are elderly and very ill. They're in need of 24-hour care. Fortunately, we have 9 brothers and sisters to help as much as possible. We've been praying for their salvation, and our great God has answered our prayers. I'm sure we're not alone in caring for parents, and now I can pray better for those going through this same situation. As a relatively new believer, I find it helpful to also visit your website, raybentley.com, and to listen to your teaching repeatedly. To me, it's similar to watching a first-rate movie multiple times. Revisiting the teaching gives me such clarity. Thank you for getting these messages online to help me deepen my understanding.
And we hope you're taking advantage of the extra resources available to you online at raybentley.com. And we also hope these daily studies encourage you. If they do, let us know. Write to ray@raybentley.com. Again, that's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Well, let's look at verses 9 through 17. Because these believers had not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So beginning in verse 9, it says, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So he had supernatural ability, though it was of another spirit. It was occult powers. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they, Samaritans, believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So notice the people in Samaria heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead on the third day. And now receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, which they did. They responded to the gospel with faith, and then they were baptized. And look, you cannot be baptized in water unless you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So they were believers. But then the Holy Spirit had not come upon them. And that's a very, very different, there's another relationship. In fact, Jesus gave us three words that describe three relationships with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, Jesus told the disciples, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit is with everybody. He's with all 7 billion people. He's with them. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to convict them of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's with everybody, whether they go to church or not. But when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And only believers can get baptized. But though right after Jesus rose from the dead, he breathed on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. But then he said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but now tarry ye in Jerusalem, for the Holy Spirit shall, he didn't say come in you, he had already breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit in them, but he said that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so this is another experience for those who are already saved, you shall be given power, dunamis, which is where we get our English word dynamite from, and the English word dynamic. There will be power that will come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that's an additional relationship where the Holy Spirit comes about. So they were believers, they got baptized, but they had not had the Holy Spirit come upon them. It is one thing to have the Holy Spirit within you, doing the work of sanctification, conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ. It is another thing to have the Holy Spirit come upon you and with power and dynamic, and then with signs and miracles and various gifts of the Spirit. So look with me at John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, because Jesus talked about this. Let's read this out loud together. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I love that. So for those of you that are, okay, I'm saved, I believe in Christ, where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you. You're saved, he's in you, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if you have not heard or did not know that there is another experience, relationship with the Holy Spirit where he comes upon you. And by the way, when he comes upon you, it can happen again and again and again. Amen. I just want to encourage you that this is something that is available to every child of God. So let's look at verses 17 through 24. And here's the beautiful thing, because this gift, the empowering of the Holy Spirit is free. So verses 17 or actually verse 18. It says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money? You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray, if God, perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. And so when they testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So here's Simon, he hears the gospel, he becomes a believer now. But then when Peter and John come, and they pray for the Samaritans, and they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he sees the power of that. Simon says, ooh, I would like some of that power. And he was into the magic arts. And I just want to say it's a common practice among especially magicians to sell their secrets of the magics for a price. I want to be able to do that. Because originally, before they came with the gospel, he was the guy everybody looked up to. Because he had signs and wonders, but it was occultic powers. And they have their limits, even though the supernatural can flow through them. And now when the gospel comes, the power of the gospel, the response of the people, this is who we've been waiting for, Jesus, the Messiah. And now when they come, the apostles, and they pray for them as they've been believers, as they've already been baptized, and now the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Simon saw what happened when the power came upon them, and he said, I want some of that, and I don't want to buy it. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly what happened there, but something must have happened. It wasn't just that he goes, okay, now the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and then nothing happened, and then they walked away. Something dynamic happened. There was an evidence of it in some way. As my pastor Chuck Smith used to say, he goes, either they began to speak in tongues in a very passionate way, and then they might have also given interpretation of that, or they might have begun to prophesy. Because later on in the book of Acts, chapter 19, we're going to find out that in Ephesus, the same thing happens, where the Holy Spirit comes upon a group of people and they begin speaking with other tongues and then they begin prophesying, and this tremendous manifestation of the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit comes. Something like that must have happened for Simon to say, I want to be the guy to do that and I'll give you money for it. He was jealous, and Peter recognizes it immediately, and with that discernment, that double-edged sword, he says, you are bitter. Your heart is not right. You want to be looked up to and powerful rather than glorifying the Lord who saved you. He says, you better repent or judgment is coming. And immediately Simon was like, no. Because he believed in retribution and payments within even his side of the spirit world, let alone now the holy God. So I'm glad that he said that. I hope that he did truly repent. But what it does show to us is that there is power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He will give you signs and he will give you wonders that will happen to people. And God is doing such an amazing thing, even here within Maranatha. I heard, you know how we've been praying for people? There was, because, you know, it's not just pastors and ministers, as some people like to think of it, but there was a grandmother who got encouraged by just seeing what we were doing, and she prayed in the name of Jesus, and God brought a supernatural healing within her family. Grandma, can I hear an amen for Grandma? God will use whomever, and he will anoint you, and he will bless you, and he will give you that capacity so that you can have the fullness. And then, as Jesus described, it becomes like a river that rises up within you and overflows your life. And that gives you the strength to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Amen.
Great encouragement today from Pastor Ray Bentley. From a fascinating study through the book of Acts here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's study is titled Rejoice in Tribulations. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. There at the homepage, by clicking Media, you'll see three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can arrange to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions each day, automatically, at no charge, and also link to his YouTube and Facebook pages. So why not bookmark it, raybentley.com? And you'll find Pastor Ray's new books, The Cyrus Mandate, as well as the Days of Noah, both prophetic fiction novels in the Elijah Chronicles series. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Acts. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.